So let's pray and lift up our brother. Father, we thank you for Eddie this morning, Lord, for the time, Lord, that he has put in seeking out your word today. And Father, as he ministers on this all-important topic of your grace, Lord, may we understand to a greater capacity what you've done for us, and that everything we have is not because we're smart or because we have all these talents. It's because of your grace, of what you have given us. Father, we pray for our brother now. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you move upon him and you move upon us. Instruct us and challenge us and guide us. And Father, just strengthen him. Anoint this word, we ask, in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Pastors. Well, good morning, church. God is good. Amen. Well, once again, I just want to start off by saying, I know you guys hear me say this all the time, but it's such a privilege and an honor to be asked by our leaders to come up and share God's word with my family. Amen. And I'm real excited I'm going to mention it later in my teaching, but you're going to see how God really works. And it started off by Jeannie giving that testimony, that praise report, about how God has a plan already. And unfortunately, for most part, we can't see the plan. We have to walk through it, amen? And like Pastor Don already touched on, I'm going to be speaking about grace this morning. And a lot of times, because we don't know the outcome of the plan already, we need a lot of grace, amen? But before I get started, I wanted to try something new. The Lord had impressed this on my heart while I was in, I call it the dungeon. Pastor John refers to his basement as the dungeon. Because that poor man goes down there for 24 hours. Nobody sees him for 24 hours when he gets a message together. I'm not quite on that level yet. I was down there about 7 altogether. So, praise God. But it's not that it's a bad thing. I love going down there. I get my worship going. I get before the presence of God, which is just excellent. And he just speaks to us, amen? He shares his heart with us. And that's what I'm bringing forth this morning, what God has put on my heart. But before I get started, I chose a brother and a sister already. I had the privilege of knowing ahead of time these praise reports, and Jeannie was one of them because she goes to my home group. And I wanted to call them up forward and share the good things that God's doing, amen? Because our God is alive and well, and he's moving, amen? He's just not out of a book. That book is his life to us, amen? Or like the pastor likes to refer to it, as a love letter to us. So we know that our topic this year is knowing God. If you really want to know God, the bottom line, get into his word, and you'll know all about him, amen? But I'm going to start off with Brother Fred. Get up here, Brother Fred.
You know, if anybody was here, my sister was diagnosed with a cancer, you know, earlier in this year, and actually maybe even into last year. But, you know, the doctors, it was a tumor in her lungs, and the doctors wasn't very optimistic with this, you know, because what did they say, and, you know, it wasn't, you know, of course, they want to put her through chemo and everything, and they didn't have very good, you know, the percentages wasn't good. I don't even know if they gave her a percent, but they was more or less go for this, and we'll see what happens. So, of course, she calls us, and, you know, we put her right on the prayer list. Can't look at my wife over there, brother. I can go over here. All right, and we put her on a prayer list. You know, of course, we called the pastors, and so everybody started praying for her. She actually came out a couple Sundays ago, and you know, all the elders came up. We prayed for her. I was honored, you know, had honor of praying alongside my elders, and you know, but. She calls me earlier this week, and the cancer has went down to almost nothing, the tumor. And the doctor himself actually said that he's never seen this happen before with this type of cancer. That he said he don't want to say 100% that she's cancer-free because there's still a little spot in there, but he seems to think that it's scar tissue at this point. So, hey, give God all the glory. She was telling me and Esther, thank you guys, No, don't thank me. And I said, do you got K-Love up there, or any kind of worship station? Just worship the Lord and give him thanks. And that's all we can do. I don't know when he's gonna move. I don't think nobody knows, but he is still alive and active. He's moving in our lives. So,
amen.
All right. That's it.
All right. The second is a sister, and it's my wife, Donna. Come on up, Donna.
Good morning. Lately, the MS has been acting up, and I wasn't doing too good. And I went to the doctor, to my neurologist, and he said that he was going to do an MRI, that he had some concerns. And I got the results. And when they called me the other day, they were like, your lesions are getting better. And it's like, I was like, what? And she's like, yeah, your lesions are getting better. And she goes, so you're okay. And and it's funny because the Lord brought back to my mind when I first got sick. He kept telling me, don't pay attention to the doctors and don't pay attention to what your body's doing. And he reminded me of that. He said, remember I told you, don't pay attention to what your body's doing, because to be honest with you, I felt like giving up, because I felt so bad. And I was struggling so bad. And, it's like God had to really get into me, because I know he's going to heal me, but, you get discouraged when you're struggling. And, but God is good. And I said, Lord, you're healing me. And I thought of something Carol said one time. She told somebody, she goes, Donna embraces the moment. And the Lord this morning told me, he said, Donna, you need to remember what Carol spoke to that person. And you need to embrace this time. And, we want to be used by God, right? But sometimes how he's using us isn't what we want. This isn't the way I wanted to be used. But God's using it to glorify him. And that's all that matters, is that he's glorified. And I just give him thanks and glory and honor because he's healing me. Not the way that I think he's going to or in the time I want. But he's healing me and he's going to be glorified.
I'll just say briefly, it was 1 year ago this Friday, this 2 days ago, that I found out I had cancer and prostate cancer. And then 1 year ago, this coming Tuesday in 2 days, that I had an operation. And since then, I'm cancer-free and been perfect,
Amen. Amen. Now I'm charged up. I'm charged up knowing my God's about his business. Amen. And he's going to use us for his glory. Amen. And I just wanted to quote out of Psalms 100 real quick. It says, his love for us endures forever. Forever. There's nothing we can do in ourselves that could stop God from loving us. Amen. Amen. Well, if you open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, I'm going to be reading out of verses 1 through 10. And how ironically Pastor Don said, I wonder if he's going to read out of Ephesians 1 and 2. Yes, I am. As a matter of fact, Sammy even shared a video this morning, and that brother on that video took verse 10 out of that. I said, man, my teacher's going all over the place. And here's the ironic thing. You know how you want to know that you know that you know that you know it's God? Well, while I was in that dungeon, and I finally got done, I said, I feel good, Lord, that this is what you want me to share. I walked out of the dungeon, and at that exact moment, I was sharing this with Betty this morning. I said, the Lord put it on my heart. I said, you know what? I wonder if I should play a song. I think either in the beginning or at the end of the message, I'm going to play that song, Your Grace is Enough. And so I shared that with Donna this morning when we were having coffee. And Donna goes, oh, well, Pastor John put the music on the website, and the first song is Your Grace is Enough. Come on! Yeah. Yeah, okay. The book of coincidences, right, Bob? All right, well, let me get into this word. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. We all know who that is, right? The spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. And I'm going to stop right there. Objects of wrath. That's not too good, is it? Well, I'm going to share a little story. I love sharing these little stories. I'm not going to tell you how long ago it was. It's not like it was a day or two. But it's not like it was 20 years ago either. So we'll just stay in that frame, okay? But my wife and I were coming home, I think. I can't remember where we were, but we were on Southfield Freeway. We're coming home, and if you've been on Southfield Freeway coming back into Melvindale, you know how you go get up on 96, where 96 is? You see that ramp going up? Well, I'm in the left-hand lane, minding my own business, doing about 35 miles an hour. But, right, like we all do 55. Anyway, I'm in the left-hand lane, and this, I won't say it, is in the lane doing about 60. So, like any natural human being, I'm riding his tail. I'm like, come on, man, there's two other lanes here. And my wife is like, what is wrong with you? I go, nothing, what's wrong with him? You know, so we're getting close to that exit, and I'm going straight. Well, this guy finally gets over. He shoots all the way across to make that ramp, right? Now, of course, you know, when I get even with him, I'm looking over and I'm ready to say something. You know, quote a scripture or something, I don't know. And just as I'm about to open my mouth, how many know that universal sign language that people like to give you? That everybody knows that sign language. And I'm like, I'm in my car and I'm all ready. I'm like, oh, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. Now, mind you, he's already starting to go up the ramp. So, you know, the guy that's full of grace. Yeah, right. I shot all the way over. All the way over. I went over the grass. I mean, my car was airborne. I kid you not, ask my wife, she was in the car. And she's screaming at the top of her lungs, you're going to kill us! I said, no, I'm going to kill him! I came up over that medium, landed, boom. I get right on his tail, and I'm going to tell you, that guy, he thought that was it. He thought that was the end. I followed him up that ramp. I mean, I was almost touching him. I'm laying on the horn, and all the while my wife's screaming. Woo! Brother, it was not pretty. As a matter of fact, he went towards Livonia, And I didn't want to go that far, so I went towards Detroit. I took myself out of the way just to make that statement. And I read this scripture where it says, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature. It didn't matter to me at that point. I was going to get my point across, you know? And then, like Sammy was stating this morning, about we try and justify it to ourselves, right? My wife goes, are you proud of yourself? I said, yes, I am. I said, someone had to teach him a lesson. And she, I think the line I always use on her when me and her get into a disagreement, I'm calling Carol and Laura. I'm calling them. You need help. Well, don't you know she reversed it on me. She says, I'm calling Pastor John and Pastor Dodd. You need help. And I was like, I was justified. But don't we find ourselves trying to do that? So, let's read on. But, because of his great love for us, thank you, Lord, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. And here it is again. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That's a lot to swallow right there. But grace is mentioned in that little bit three times. God's grace. How many know we need God's grace? We need God's grace. And the thing that really touched my heart is, it's not by any good work that we can do to receive it. I read that in my study notes. There's nothing we can do, whether we go on 100 mission trips, whether we tithe faithfully every week, we give extra in the offering every week, there is nothing we can do to earn grace. It is a special gift from God. Is our Father good or what? Now, I get the chance to redeem myself. I wasn't here last week because my son and I took a trip to Ohio, Cincinnati, and not Columbus, although I wanted to go there, to see my grandson in a baseball tournament. He's in a travel league. And the Lord blessed me with a new car. I got a new truck out there. And so Nick, that sly dog, Steve, you know what I'm talking about, Nick being the sly dog. He says, we going to take your truck? I go, dude, you got a Camaro. It's only got 2,000 miles on it. That's a brand new truck. Come on, Dad, come on. I said, all right, you're driving. Because how many know when you got Michigan plates and you're in Ohio, that's a no-no. If you're going 1 mile over, they'll pull you over. So I told Nick, all right, fine. We'll take my truck. You're driving there and back. He said, okay. So we made it there. No problems. Watched all the games. We're coming back home. We stopped to get something to eat. And I was kind of missing my new truck. You know, I'd only driven it to work. I said, I'll drive for a little bit. He said, you sure? I said, yeah. So I'm driving. I got my phone synced to the truck, so I decided to call my brother in Arizona, and I'm talking to him, and I'm following my son-in-law. He's leading us, and he was in the left-hand lane. I'm behind him. We're cruising along, and then all of a sudden he gets over, so I looked in my mirror, and I saw that there was another pickup, but it was, you know, about three car lengths back. So I didn't put no turn signal on, but I got over smoothly. It's not like I cut him off or nothing, and we're just going along, and all of a sudden, man, this blue truck gets up next to us in the right-hand lane, and I'm still talking to my brother, and I don't know why, but my son and I, at the same time when the truck was going by, we just happened to both look over at the truck, and it's an old guy. About Bob's age. An old guy. Had a hat on. His wife was didn't look like Sharon. I mean, she looked old like you, Bob. But there was that universal sign again. I'm like, me and my son look like, and I'm like, did that guy just give us the finger? And my son goes, either that or that's the way they wave here in Ohio. So I'm like, I can't believe he did that. And my brother's listening on the phone, and he's cracking up, you know. So in the meantime, he gets in front of us. Of course, he had Ohio plates. Now, this really hurt my heart. Where's Jimmy? Jimmy, this hurt my heart. I was wearing my Buckeye jersey. Even though I was in a Michigan-plated car, I had my Buckeye stuff on. He still gave me the bird. He might have been a Michigan fan with Ohio plates. But anyways, to make a long story short, we get up next to him again, and my son, yeah, start laughing, Roger. He turns around, and we get next to the guy again. Not that I did it on purpose. This is the way we were traveling. And my son's like, hey, what's wrong with you? And that old man said, pull over. Oh, no, you don't want to say that to my son. He was carrying his gun. Yeah, Steve. So my son grabs the steering wheel and he starts pulling it. I go, what are you doing? He goes, he told me to pull over. Let's pull over. He's like, I'll straighten him out, straighten his wife out, and then I'll take his bike. He had a dirt bike on the back of his truck. And see, if we went back to that first story, thank God, I probably would have pulled over. But thank God for his grace, I had grace on that man. You know, I didn't have that the first incident, but this time I just had grace on him. And I mean, Nick was serious, man. He was like, Dad, pull over. I said, Nick, he's an old man. Just let him go. Well, he shouldn't be doing that. He's older. He should know better, blah, 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 blah. I said, Nick, have grace on him. He's old. You know, so we get ahead of him a little bit, and he starts to get off, and he flicks his brights at me. He gets off the freeway. So I'm thinking that's the end of it, right? We go a little further. My daughter had to stop for gas, so we pull over again. Then my son says, I'll drive. I'll drive it in. I said, okay. Big mistake. Big mistake. Because we're back on the road again, right? Now, I didn't see, because he's driving now, we're in the center lane. You know where it's only two lanes? So we're in the right lane. My son-in-law gets over, because there was a couple of semis. So Nick gets over. Well, apparently, about four or five car lengths back, there was this black Nissan something or other. It was flying. I mean, flying. And because Nick got over, you know, he probably had a brake, and then he goes around us. And, I mean, he, like, cut right in front of us. I mean, almost, like, Nick almost had to hit the brakes. And I was like, whoa. I said, did that guy just cut us off? And at first, Nick was like, I guess that grace message kind of sunk in, because at first he goes, well, whatever. You know, that was his attitude. So then the guy kind of slowed down a little bit. So Nick gets in the right-hand lane, goes to pass him again. The guy puts on his turn signal, and he cuts in front of us again. And I go, what the heck? So Nick puts his turn signal on. He goes to the left. The guy puts his turn signal on, and he cuts in front of us again. Well, look. I know my son. No, yeah, Steve's already up there shaking his head. Brother, I was trying. I was trying. But there was no getting through his head. You know, you don't see him sitting in here, do you? All right, then. That Detroit cop came out in him. He said, oh, he wants to play games? He don't know who he's playing with. So I'm like, hey, this is my car, man. Don't be messing with my car. So he acts like he's going to get in the right-hand lane. The guy shoots over again, and then he goes back, and he speeds up, and he gets him. He like, suckered him. He goes, now I'm in the lead. And I'm like, oh, no, this is not going to be good. So there was construction, and for whatever reason, they got the trucks in the left-hand lane, so all the cars in the right-hand lane. To make a long story short, Nick's playing with this guy for like 40 miles. He would speed up, and when the guy would speed up, he'd slow down. And with the truck next to us, the guy couldn't go nowhere. And you could see in the car, his wife was like my wife. What are you doing? Leave that guy alone. He's a maniac. And it brought back memory of, man, that used to be me. The wife, you could see her hands going like this. And the guy wound up staying back, you know, once Nick let loose of him. But it's just to show the difference about how we can give grace to someone, even though they may not deserve it, right? But what about us? Sometimes we don't deserve it. But because God gives that grace as a gift, it's there for us. Amen? I looked it up. What is grace? In Christian theology, grace is defined as the freely given, unmerited favor and love of God. The influence or spirit of God operating in humans to regenerate or strengthen them. In the dictionary, it says a manifestation of favor, especially by a superior, mercy, clemency, and pardon. And as we just read in the Bible, it says grace is a gift of God. In Romans 12:6, it says we have different gifts according to the grace given us. Now, I'm here to say that I ain't no professor, but if we can all be honest with each other, some of us have multitudes of grace, Pastor John, and some of us don't, Ed Medrano. But I'm working on it. You know, it's like, remember in the Christmas? I remember as a kid at Christmas time, you used to run down the stairs, you know, your pajamas have hanging down and stuff, and you're like, oh, Santa Claus, Santa Claus. And what did you do when you looked at that tree? You looked for the biggest gift, right? That's got to be mine. That's got to be mine, right? Nothing else mattered. The candy canes, nothing else. Just who's got the biggest gift, right? Well, if we want a big gift like that, I believe we have to earn it. Amen? And the only way to earn it is to start practicing it. We have to be able to give each other grace. And we have to have grace on ourselves. That's something new that the Lord just pointed out to me this morning through the worship. There's so many times where we're our worst judge, aren't we? We're our worst judge. Where's Wendy? Sister. Her and I should have been brother and sister, I'm going to tell you. Because we got this OCD going on. But, I mean, she puts me in the dust. You know, I believe if she had a board to write her household chores down, they would be in exact order, spaced out exactly right. The line would be straight. Right? But we have to have grace in order for that to work. Amen? We have to be able to not be so hard on ourselves. Sometimes we figure we have to be perfect every single day. We strive to be. I mean, that's our goal, amen, right? To try and go one day without sinning. That's like a whoo, star, you know? But it's not easy. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. And I want to tell you something. What is the church's worst enemy? I prayed about this. And it almost got mentioned up in Sammy's teaching today. Pastor Don kind of covered it, but kind of took an angle towards it. But when we were talking about sort of like complacency in the church, you know, sometimes, and I should have spoke this, Sammy, I'm sorry I didn't, but it's what the Lord was impressing on my heart, is sometimes. And we know we're a family here, amen? So as, you know, it's just a natural thing that sometimes we cling to others more closely than others, amen? Not that we don't love each other less, but it's just the way it works. But I've seen in the past, and I've heard it a lot, that if somebody gets offended or is corrected or whatever the case may be, where they feel like they're going to leave, they cause dissension in the church, don't they? A lot of times that's what causes church splits. You know, instead of the congregation being loyal to the pastors, the leaders, they're too much loyal to one another. So if by all rights, the pastors are right and they bring the word of God as correction to that person or two or whatever, they get upset and they cause dissension. They start gossiping into the church. Well, they did this, they did that, they said this, they said that. And before you know it, it can split the church. It's a sad thing. It's very sad. But it happens. You know? It really, really happens. And so we have to be prepared to do what's right. Amen? But we have to do it in love. Right? I know, I remember that story where Jesus was in the temple and he flipped those tables, right? But he did it in righteousness. It was a righteous anger. And I'm constantly telling people, you know, because it got mentioned upstairs about, you know, like having, you know, like the gay people, you know. And my daughter, she kind of hurt my feelings yesterday because... there was some Muslims that live a couple doors down, and you know the ones that wear all the black, and that's all you can see is their eyeballs. Well, my daughter goes, you know, I'm going to tell them, man, they take that off. You know, this is our country. You don't wear that in this country. And I said, you know, they have a freedom to wear what they want. That's what's so nice about our country. You have that freedom. Now, sometimes people push it to the extreme to take advantage of that. You know, and she says, no, it's not that bothers me. It's just that it frightens me because you don't know who's behind the veil or whatever. And I said, well, wait a minute. I said, does that upset you more that she's walking wearing that? Or would it upset you more because like her and Steve had went out to dinner last night and we watched their kids. I said, or would it upset you more that you sat between a gay couple, let's just say it was two guys, and they were, and I don't mean to be gross, but, you know, they were making out. That wouldn't upset you? And she goes, well, no, but, I mean, you know, that's their thing, but, and I'm like, really? Really? We need to pray more. We need to pray more for our children, you know? Because just like Sammy was preaching this morning, that's the word, I couldn't think of it, the tolerance. Churches are starting to tolerate those things. You know, the word of God is truth, amen? And thank God he gives us grace, but his word is truth. There's no tolerance in it, you know? What it is what it is. And it's our job as Christians, as his children, to minister the truth. We can minister it in love, but we still have to minister the truth. If we don't say anything, the way the world's going, like Sammy said, they think it's okay. It's okay. And now we see God's churches starting to do the same thing. Like Bob was sharing about he went and visited that one church and there was two girls making out and he mentioned something to the pastor and he goes, well, kids will be kids. Really? Where does it say that in the Bible? I don't remember reading that anywhere. But that's what this world is coming to. You know, I mean, who's that one guy down in Texas? Joel Osteen. One day my wife and I were just flicking through the channels and she stopped. Not that we watch it, but she just wanted to, you know, see what this guy was saying. And remember, he started off by saying, Jesus loves you. It's not so much the word, but how you feel. Jesus loves you the way we are. Really? Well, yeah, like Pastor said, if you're a sinner and you don't know God and you come through these doors, yeah, you're going to be dirty, you're going to be full of garbage. But it's the obligation of the church like he said, a hospital to get you fixed. Right? I mean, like he said, they're going to struggle a little bit in that sin because they're just coming out of it. But we're not to just sit there and pat them on the shoulder and let them do it. We got to give them the truth. Amen? And see, we as Christians, we know the truth. And yet some Christians still tolerate. Because it starts off with something small, right? Just like the enemy. You know, I always talk about the armor of God. When we wear the full armor of God, the devil can't penetrate it. But if we put kinks in that armor, don't we know that that's the spot he's going into? Just like any enemy, right? I mean, if the enemy was fortified, you're not going to run head on, you're going to get slaughtered. But if you see a break in the ranks, that's the weak point, that's where you're going. I mean, I saw that in the Civil War a lot. You know, when they, you know, the way they lined up in that, wherever there was a weakness, that's where they charged. And they, 9 times out of 10, they broke the line. You know? So we got to get on our high horse. Thank God that he gives us grace when we blow it. But we got to call right, right, and wrong, wrong. There is no grace in that. It's the Word of God. It's the truth. Some might say, well, I don't feel like I received that gift. I was in the wrong gift line when they were passing out grace. Well, in Titus 2:11, it says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. So my word to you is, if you are saved, then God's grace is upon you and in you. And we are commanded to give it to others. It's all about fighting the flesh. We talked about that this morning, too, about the flesh. I know it can be very difficult at times, very difficult. But if we approach God with humility and truth, Father, I have a hard time with so-and-so. I need your help. We know that he is just and faithful to give us what we ask for. James 4:6 says, but he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. We need to approach God with honesty. You know, I mean, let's not try and paint a picture that's not there. You know, if you're standing before the Lord, to tell you the truth, and I hope I don't get thrown out of church for this, but I would be honest with God and say, I have a hard person with so-and-so. I just do. I mean, help me, Lord, to love this person. I know he's your creation. I know he's my brother or sister in the Lord. But I'm struggling in this area. I need your help. I can't do it on my own. I don't like feeling like this. We're a family. I don't want to be the cause of dissension or discord in the church. God forbid, you know? But we have to be honest, like Sammy was saying. Man, Sammy, you stole my teaching, man. Figures you're Steve's protege. But, you know, Sammy was saying that, man, that we have things welled up in our heart that we don't really want to share. But we need to. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you ain't hiding nothing from God. You may fool people, but you ain't no way going to fool God, because he's the only one that can judge our hearts. So that thing you're carrying around, you might as well get rid of it. You know, the Bible says that if you hold things in darkness, they have a hold of you. But once you bring them into the light, they no longer will. So those things that are not of God, we need to get rid of them. Quit carrying them around, right? We're supposed to be running a race, right? We're supposed to be running a race. Well, how would you like to run the race if you had to carry a 100-pound sack on your back? Or I think of these guys in the military, they got to carry those knapsacks. Did those get lighter, by the way? I remember when my dad was in the service, he said, that thing weighed 90 pounds. I'm like, what the heck do you have in there? A body? 90 pounds? Yeah, I guess so. I'd be looking for a mule. Where's my mule? 90 pounds on your back. And then marching all them miles. And it's not like they're going down the street. It's like this. But it's hard to run a race when we're carrying all that garbage with us. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." If we're going to try and do things right, we're going to need God's grace. I'm telling you. Because we're not perfect. We weren't meant to be perfect. Only God was perfect. Jesus was perfect. He was our blueprint to become or try and become perfect. We needed something. I mean, I think of our children. How many times... Hey, I want to know that guy right there. How many times did that guy have to get spanked? Throw it out there! 100, 200? You ain't got enough fingers. That's good enough, brother. No, I mean, really. I remember raising my kids, man. It's like you tell yourself you hate hitting them, but it's like, man, when is this kid going to... It's going to penetrate his brain. When you touch that, you're going to get this. You know? I can say out of my four kids, my daughter was the smartest. Well, girls are smarter, I'm going to tell you right now. Because she got hit one time. She never went near that again. As a two-year-old, she'd see that thing on the stool. She'd be like, "Ooh, oh, it ain't going to be me." You know, here's my son. Oh, yeah. Whack! She was like, "Hee hee, dummy." Yeah, but we hate disciplining our kids, but you have to, right? How are they ever going to get it right? Are we any different? I mean, just like we had our parents to lead us and guide us through life, God has given us His Word to lead us and guide us. And some of us are faithful to read it each and every day, and we still go out the door and sin, don't we? It's like, oh, how'd I do that? But thank God for His grace. And we can't get down on ourselves, because like I mentioned earlier, we're our own worst enemy sometimes. You know, we always feel that we're not worthy to be called a child of God. And how many know that the enemy's just there throwing logs on the fire? Logs on the fire. Yeah, you're unrighteous. How could you call yourself a Christian? But we took communion this morning. Jesus died for us for that gift of grace. The Word of God says His love for us endures forever. Forever. Don't let the enemy get a hold of you. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "But He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" And see, I think that's definitely for you and me, Wendy. Because we're trying to be these perfect Christians. But we're always going to fall short of the mark because of our nature. It's just our nature. You know, but at those times where we're weak, God is strong. Amen? God is strong in our times of weakness. Sammy, man, he was talking about being prideful, proud, puffed up. A lot of times we don't want to ask for help. I can do this. And we wind up falling again. You know? It's like being stuck in that rut. You know, how are we supposed to be about our Father's business if we can't get out of the mud? You know, we got to be about our Father's business. When we need help, we need to ask for it. When we mess up, God's grace is sufficient for us. I mean, don't get me wrong, if it continues happening, the same thing over and over and over, then we need to seek help. Don't let the enemy deceive you or let that pride well up that you're too embarrassed or too ashamed to go to the pastors or their wives and say, I'm struggling in this area. I need help. I don't want to be like this. I want to be with the rest of the church running the race for God. I'm tired of sitting on the sideline. I mean, I think of the guys, man. All those that played sports in high school, man, you don't want to sit the pine, man. Right? I mean, I'm thinking of these jock guys, you know, like, you know how the jocks usually got the prettiest cheerleader or whatever? You see it in these movies, but they're always like the superstar quarterback or something like that. So we get that kind of mentality. So when we get on a sports team, you practice all week long doing doubles and this and that. Then you get on the field that night, Friday night or whatever, and you're sitting the pine. Really? Really? I did all that work for what? You know what I'm saying? I want to be in the game. I want to be in the game. Or I remember Craig Fowler. I still remember that message he gave about some ship, or was it the Titanic or something sunk? And then at the end of that message, I don't know how he got there, but he said, I don't want to be running into heaven just making it through the gates with my robe on fire. Like, woo, baby, I just made it. I smell like a barbecue. I don't want to be the last one through the gate. I want to be up there with the crowd, you know? I always told Donna that, man. I said, you know, I think it's funny, man. You watch the Boston Marathon. You ever see it just before it takes off? Like, everybody's like, they want to be the first one out the gate, man. They love my number. I said, I should do that. When I get to the first block, turn off. I'm done. I said, I led for a block. Ain't no way I can run no 26 miles. You're crazy. But anyways, I want to be part of the game. Amen? I want to be in there. I want to mix it up with everybody. I want to come out of that game dirty. I don't want my uniform to still be white. I want it to be mud stains, grass stains, blood stains. My sons used to come home after a game like that. I knew they were in a game. You know, unlike Chuck O'More, who I shared that story before. Me and Steve went to an Allen Park game, and it was a muddy game. They were playing Redford Thurston. Me and Steve were in the rain. The sun finally came out, and the field's all muddy. Well, Allen Park was wearing their whites because they were on the road, and they were gray, almost black. And I'm looking on their sideline. There's this one kid, man. His uniform was as white as Pastor Don's shirt. I'm like, who's that kid? Steve goes, that's Chuck O'More. I go, Chuck O'More? I said, he looked like Chuck O'Less. I says, doesn't he ever get in a game? He goes, no. But he's faithful to come to every practice and this and that. Well, wouldn't you know it? He finally got in the game. Steve goes, oh, there's Chuck O'More, man. He goes running out there. He's all excited. He gets in the huddle. It kind of reminded me of that movie Rudy. Remember how he got in at the end? He's all excited. Man, they handed him off the ball because, you know, they put all the scrubs in because Allen Park was killing them. So I don't even going to mention you, Miguel. But anyways, they put all the scrubs in, man. Well, the other team still had their starters in, man. As soon as this guy got the ball, boom, he got hit in the backfield. He fell on his butt. He got up. The coach was like, come on out, come on out. He goes out, man. The only muddy head was right here. I said, woo, brother, he better get on the sideline and roll around, brother. But anyways, we are obligated as children of God to testify in administering God's grace wherever and to whoever the Holy Spirit leads us. We need to be obedient to God's desire and will for our lives. Remember, church, our life is no longer our own. Amen? Acts 20:24. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. So see, when we look at those people that are in the world that are sinning, and that's the story I was hoping, or the answer that I was hoping my daughter was going to give me, when she, you know, when I mentioned the fact about the two gay people next to her in the restaurant, that you would say, hey, you know, God doesn't despise that. That's all you got to say. Just drop that bomb in there. You know what I mean? See, that's the task of us administering God's grace. That grace goes along with truth, right? Because doesn't the word say the truth will set you free? Okay. So those people are in bondage to what they're doing. So we're obligated, just like God gives us grace, for us to have grace upon them and not be too prideful to say, hey, that's sin. My Father says that's sin. You know? We need to take that upon ourselves to do that. Because remember, whatever their reaction is, it isn't going to be you. It's the Holy Spirit that led you to say that. So they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting God, if that's their response. But you never know. That might minister to them. That might set them free. But it's our obligation as a church to go out into the world and give the truth. Could I have the prayer team come up, please? I know most of you real well, and we know in our hearts that when we accept Jesus in our life, that he never really said it was going to be easy. He did say, however, for us to pick up our crosses and follow him. Pick up our crosses and follow him. Just mere words? Or is that an action? You know, I think of that as an action when Jesus took that cross upon his shoulders. He had to walk it from there to there and then be hung on it for us. So when I say we're obligated to minister God's grace in its various forms, whatever that may be, we need to do it. Just like Pastor John said this morning, that we probably don't fully understand the act of the communion, but we need to. Just like that cross. We can't take that grace for granted, even though God gave it to us as a gift. You know? I just know that when I was at Christmas time, I didn't really want that little teeny box. I wanted the big box. Well, if we really want to be obedient to Christ and we want to give out that grace like he so freely gives us, then we need to start moving in it. Amen? I'm going to close with this. 1 Peter 5:10. In the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Praise God, church. He himself, our Father, will attend to each and every one of our needs. As we leave here today, take heart that God's gift of grace is sufficient for us. And know that in our failures, in our weaknesses, God is there. He is strong. Don't feel like we have to do it all on our own. He's there for us. His word says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am always with you, even until the end of the age. He's there with us. He wants to be used by us. We just have to take that initiative and make it happen. Amen. Amen. Let's close. Hallelujah. Father, Lord God, I just, once again, Father, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word, Lord God. Father, I pray that this word would go out, that it would burn in our hearts and our minds, Lord God. Father, that we would take this word and run with it, Lord God. And Father, that we would know that your grace is sufficient for us, Father, in our shortcomings, Lord. But Father, that we would also administer that grace to others, Lord God, as you see fit, Lord God. Father, I thank you for the opportunity, Lord. I thank you for this day. I thank you for all things, Lord God. I pray blessing upon this body, Lord God. Bless our week to come, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.